went through that the series of how to have a godly home, and we are up to number four in the message, and that is separation must be enforced. We're not going to go over everything we've already been over, but we talked about last week, number one under number four is under Roman number four is separation is a logical reaction to salvation. We talked about that last week and how that it is a lot that separation in the home. We said, number four was separation must be enforced. And the first point under that was separation is the logical reaction to salvation. And we talked about that and we've seen the difference as we looked at our verses here in 2 Corinthians. And we started with verse 14, and where it said that what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And we give the examples of light and darkness and how that the two can't agree. They can't coexist with one another. Pastor's favorite bumper sticker there, coexist. We can't do that. We can't coexist. Righteousness and unrighteousness, it doesn't go together. And if we've been saved, if we trusted the Lord as our Savior, then the logical reaction to salvation is separation. It will happen. It will come to pass. And, you know, it's not the separation that, for say, that we do choose it, but the Holy Spirit deals with us about things. And through the Holy Spirit dealing with us, we become separated. We live separated lives. And, you know, that's better than just choosing it ourselves. Yeah. You know, before I got saved, I've said this before, you know, I thought I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up in a religious home, not severely religious, but I was taught some things from the Bible and things growing up and a little bit of that I learned in the Methodist church as a child, and even to the point where around 12 years old went through the confirmation classes, and really at 12 years old I thought, is this it? Is this really it? I mean, and after I went through those classes, I took communion once. That's the only time I took communion in the Methodist church, because you know what I thought? I thought I did everything I needed to do. I done checked off all the boxes, preacher. Let me farm. Let me be like my dad. Let me work. Just leave me alone. I'll come to church every now and then. I thought I'd done it. But, you know, it's not what we do. It's what's done for us. But, you know, the things that I done before I got saved to, you know, be a good person. That's the word I'm looking for. Be that good person. Those things are choices that I made. But once I got saved, the logical reaction to salvation was things began to change in my life. I gave you some examples of that last week. We could go on and on. I could go through years of things changing in my life. Things continue to change in my life. Things I choose upon the Holy Ghost dealing with me to be more separated now than I ever have. And that's Him dealing with me. That's Him dealing with you. And once you have Him in your heart, and He deals with you, the older you get, the more you'll see, and the more you grow in the Lord, the more you'll see that it is a logical reaction to salvation that we live a separated life. And we have verses on all that, and we ended up in Psalm 40, and which leads us up to number two in the message, and that is separation is a limited relationship with sinners. Separation is a limited relationship with sinners. I didn't say that it's no relationship with sinners because we'll never reach them if we don't have some communication with them. And I thank the Lord that the people that had to do with the beginning phases of my salvation, I'm glad that they didn't limit themselves and say, we don't want anything to do with you, you're a sinner. I've said this before, and Pastor, I don't do this to boast on you, but you know, and it gets that lump in my throat every time I think about it. But 40 years ago, this month, when I first met you on Glisten's Mill Road, I'm glad you didn't exclude yourself from sinners. You know what the first thing I remember about him is that he took a group of teenagers that were distraught at the death of a friend. We got together in a circle and he prayed for us. Oh, I don't remember what he prayed, but I have a feeling I know what he prayed. Because he didn't exclude himself from sinners. And that was the beginning stages of me coming to the Lord. And so I say it is a limited relationship with sinners. We'll look more into this here. And I don't like to get choked up, but I'm glad that the Lord still lets me get choked up sometimes. It's 40 years this month, preacher. 40 years. Wow. How time flies. Let's read our text here. Let's start in verse 14 again. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Our point goes back to verse 17. Separation is a limited relationship with sinners, where it says here in verse 17, wherefore come out from among them. The way I read this and the way I see it, it sounds to me like a command. Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Not saith Paul, it says, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you unto myself. It says to be separate. Let's turn over to Proverbs chapter 4. We'll be back in Corinthians here in a little bit, but let's look at some verses here in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4. Let's start in verse 10. We'll get through 10 through 19. It says, "Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." We could have looked at verse 18 and 19 last week when we were talking about the difference between light and darkness and those paths. But this morning, I wanted to point out here in verses 14 and 15, as we think about our relation, the separation being a limited relationship with sinners, the Bible tells us to enter not into the path of the wicked and go not the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. The Bible is giving us warnings. I would give all of us warnings this morning through the Word of God, but I've made a special note on the side of my notes here to warn the young people. You know, us older people, I'm kind of in the middle here somewhere, but I feel old many times, so I'll put myself on the older side. And I don't feel as old as Frank, but I do feel old. There was something that happened back in the prayer room this morning. But nonetheless, us older people should know better. You know, I'm reminded of what Brother McBride said years ago when he was teaching on David. When David sinned with Bathsheba, David knew better. David was the age, he knew better. You people with age here, you know better. You know what I'm saying. And I sense it from you. I see the eye language, the body language, and everything else that you agree with what I'm saying. But you know, let us never let our guard down, because even David, King David, knew better, and yet he let the flesh rule in his life. But young people, I see you coming up. I see you know, things going on. Watch you guys from time to time, even though you might not know you're being watched. You are being watched. There's different things that I see, and characteristics and the character of the young people here. And I'm not bashing you, but I'm just warning you that you need to have a limited relationship with sinners. I don't know that any of you do have an unlimited relationship with them. I feel that there's much care given by the parents here that you their children do have a limited relationship, but you got to be careful. And the Bible warns us, and it warns us here. It said, "Take fast hold on instruction." What's instruction? Instruction is the Word of God. It's what you're getting here this morning. It's what you're going to get in the next hour. It's what you'll get this evening. It's what you'll get Wednesday night. It's instruction. It's instructions when you take and dedicate yourself to have devotions in the Word of God every day. It's instruction from the Word of God that will help you to live right and to do right. And, you know, you can take it from someone who hasn't always done right. I will admit to you, I haven't always done right. And I've paid for that many times. And we do. The Bible says that you reap what you sow. And but you know, we are all subject to fail from time to time. But young people, let me encourage you to do right. I know, you know, at that age, your late teens, early 20s, through your 20s, that you're aspiring. The whole world is before you, so to speak. And you're looking forward to what's tomorrow, what's going to happen. You know, am I going to meet the right person? Am I going to get married? Am I going to have a family? All those kind of things. And to some, it happens earlier than others, and you know, and even work and everything like that. But be careful about your communications. Separation in your life is a key thing. You need to live a separated godly life, and we need to be separate from this world. The Bible says here, take fast hold on instruction. Let her not go. That means you don't take instruction on Sunday morning and let it go the rest of the week. You don't take instruction on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and let it go the rest of the week. You don't take instruction Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and let it go the rest of the week. You hold on to it. And you hold on to it yourself in between those times. You're getting spoon-fed right now from the Word of God. You're getting pre-digested food. You're getting food that comes from men that have looked into the Word of God and have studied the Word of God and give it to you. But take time yourself and get something yourself from the Word of God. Amen. It will help you. It will give you instruction. You hold on to it. It says, for she is thy life. Instruction is thy life. You look back further in this chapter, it talks about wisdom, and that's what the context is. But then in verse 14, it says, enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not the way of evil men. I can't emphasize it any more than the Bible does. Fellows, ladies, young ladies, I always head for the young fellows, years of teaching the teen boys class and giving them instruction, and knowing that I was a teen boy one time a day, and knowing that even today, I would say it's worse. It's so much easier to fall into sin. The technology that lies before us, it's so easy. The Bible says, enter not into the path of the wicked. Don't go down that hole, fellas. And not just fellas, young ladies. It can happen to you. Many of you are quiet, young ladies, and that's a good thing. The Bible talks about a meek and a quiet spirit. But, you know, many times it's a saying in this world, but you got to watch the quiet ones. But lady, young ladies too, the Bible says, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. Get out of there. Get up and get out of there. If you find yourself in that predicament, you say, that's just with sin, brother Ron. That's just talking about being with sin. But it says the path of the wicked. Separation is a limited relationship with sinners. Be careful who you hang around. Turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, our text. We could go on and on about those things there. But I want to move on through what the Lord has given us here. It says to touch not the unclean thing. Now, I had written down here, and I'm not going to I'm not going to go there today because I'll get tied up in the whole reading of it. You could do this at home. Read Proverbs. We were in Proverbs chapter 4. You could go to Proverbs chapter 7 and read about the results of one who doesn't heed having a limited relationship. The Bible says in verse 17 of our text here, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." It says, touch not the unclean thing. In other words, have nothing to do with it. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It goes on there and talks about the lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Those things that will get caught up with us if we have too much relationship with sinners. There's a difference between working in this world and parting with it. You know, most of us that work jobs, work in a place where the atmosphere is just, it's of this world. The music, the language, everything. I mean, I get super dirty physically at work with what I work on. And we have a uniform company that cleans those clothes and takes care of that. But there's some things that you just feel like you got to take a shower when you, I mean, I do have to take a shower when I get home. But there's some things that you're just like, oh, I just can't wait to get clean. I can't wait to get clean from that physical dirt, but the filth that goes on sometimes around you, sometimes it's just too much. You fellas know what I'm talking about. And some of you ladies that have worked out, you hear it too. I don't work around women now, fortunately. But my last job, there was a few women that I worked around, and you know their mouths were filthier than men. And you have to have a limited relationship if you're going to live a separated life. But every place seems like that you work, they have the party atmosphere, and they talk about what they're going to do on the weekend or in the evenings or whatever. And, you know, you have to cut yourself off from that. There's times that you have to cut yourself off from a company Christmas party. There's times you have to cut yourself off from maybe a company picnic or something because of the worldliness. And it's not popular. You're not the most popular person when you do that. I've done it before. And, you know, you'll get a little bit of persecution from it. But, you know, most of the time they forget about it and move on. But to have a relationship with our Savior and to have a godly home, we have to live a separated life. And there's sometimes you just got to say no. There's sometimes you got to say, fellas, I can't make it. I don't want to be around that stuff. And, you know, there has been times that I've said no. There's been times that I've said yes. And most any time I've said yes, I've regretted it. Nothing good come of it. If anything, it probably marred my testimony that I would be around them when they do such a thing. But separation is a limited relationship with sinners. There is a difference between working around the world and partying with them. This can also carry over to the family. You've got unsaved family. They want to have gatherings and they could possibly have alcohol and those kind of things there. You need to abstain from it. abstain. The Bible tells us to abstain from all appearance of evil. I know it's not popular. I know you say, well, how are we ever going to reach them? How are we ever going to reach them? You're not going to reach them around that stuff, I can tell you that. That's like trying to reach the drunkard on the bar stool. You're not going to reach him there. Separation is a limited relationship with sinners. Number three, separation is a loving reception by the Savior. Verse 16 of our text. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You know, we talk about being separate and living separated lives, and you know, the plow goes down deep, and it hurts sometimes. It brings up things, you know, and we do. We do have to live separated lives. If we're going to have a testimony for the Lord, if our witness is going to be there for him. But, you know, it's not all bad. In our verses here, the Bible says that separation is a loving reception by the Savior. You see this here in our verse, the last part of it. He said, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You know, before 40 years ago, I wasn't one of God's people. And God didn't walk with me. And he didn't dwell in me. And I was doing my own thing, like I testified of earlier. I thought I checked off all the checks, did what I was supposed to do. But I didn't have him. He didn't dwell in me. He didn't dwell in me until June the 28th of 1985, when I accepted him as my Savior, repented of my sins, and accepted him as my Savior, trusted him for my salvation. And then he indwelled me. And ever since then, even though there's been many times that I didn't walk with him, that I didn't go his way, there's been many times in that path over the last 40 years where I wandered, just like the children of Israel, wandered off into things. But you know, he's always been there. He's always had a loving reception. I've always had a loving reception by my Savior. He said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. The word dwell in Strong's means inhabit. He inhabits us when he dwells in us. You know, something is inhabiting you. It's with you. It's not going anywhere. It's there to stay. And the Holy Spirit dwells within us, and he will inhabit us. In verse 7, in verse 17, the end of verse 17 says, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. You know, he not only dwells in us and walks in us, and he's our God, but he says, I will receive you. It's a loving reception by the Savior to live a separated life. In verse 18, it says, I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. He receives us. He takes us in, and he holds us in. Turn over to Ephesians. Ephesians and chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Seen something here in my study. We'll finish up here this morning with this. Ephesians chapter 3, and we'll start here. Let's see. I had a hard time finding where to start, but I'll say we'll go back to verse 8. It says, unto me, whom in the least, who am least than the least of the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Think about, as we read through here, think about separation and a loving reception by the Savior, how he receives us and what he does for us. Again, it's not just that we're a separated people. It's not that we can't do certain things. Oh, it's what we can do. It's where we can go, and it's who we can go to. You know, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Paul says here, verse 9, and in verse 8, the end of verse 8, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. You know, as he receives us, he gives us unsearchable riches. Things, there are things in here, if you will dedicate yourself to the Lord and some time to him to read and study his word, there's unsearchable riches in here that you and I can find. As I read through my Bible, or however I may be going through devotions, and I read through, for years I've underlined things that stick out to me as I read them. And as I go back over reading again, and I come to them places and I see that underlined, and it takes me back. I might not remember exactly what was going on at that time, but I'm like, I got that underlined. Yeah, that was a blessing. I was reading something the other morning, and I seen across the page there was something underlined, and I couldn't wait to get there because I wanted to read that verse and see. What was it? That was the unsearchable riches of Christ. That's the blessings that he gives to us through his word. That's the instruction that we spoke of earlier here. The unsearchable riches of Christ. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. Those things were hidden for years, but you know what? They're not hidden anymore. Verse 10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Manifold, many. Many is a manifold. Fellows that know anything about engines, a manifold is a piece of metal that has many holes in it, all coming together into one. That's what you get in the church. Manifold wisdom of God coming together there. Verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family of heaven and earth is moved, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Think about the reception that we have. Separation is a loving reception of the Savior as we're received in him. Think about these things that we have here, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. You know, it's not that we're strong on the outside. It's that he strengthened us within. as he receives us, he gives us strength within. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Are you rooted and grounded in love? If you're rooted in Christ, you are rooted and grounded in love. Verse 18. Let's read verse 17 again. It goes together here. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints. That's all of us. Young people, I spoke to you earlier. You're in on this. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, there's not a boundary between you and the older people. It's all of us. You'll be able to get into this as well. Be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye may be able with all the fullness of, you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that ye ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. As we live a separated life to have a godly home, we are received by a Savior, gladly welcomed by him, held by him, took care of him. Separation is a loving reception of the Savior. We see that here in Ephesians. Next week we'll got two more points on separation, and we'll talk about that next week. We'll finish up with that. We got one more thing in the how to have the godly home. We got one more thing we're going to touch on there. But next week we'll go into separation is a laborious removal of sin. Think about that this week. Separation is a laborious removal of sin. This stuff doesn't just happen automatically, folks. It's labor. It's work. The Bible says, work out your own salvation. But think about the loving reception that we have of our Savior. Separation isn't all bad. It's good. It is really good. We separate it from the world unto Christ. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time we have in your word. I pray that you help Pastor now as he comes. Give him everything he stands in need of to preach your word. I pray that you'll help us to sing and worship you in song. And Lord, pray for that soul that may be here that doesn't know you as their Savior, Lord, that may today be their day of salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.